So the rich guy in Jesus' story today says, can I have a do-over? Can I get another chance? I blew it. See, I thought I was doing the right thing. I followed all the religious rules. I went to worship, tried not to do anything really too wrong myself, but I blew it because I talked myself into believing that I was religious. God had rewarded me with all my money and stuff. I never even saw Lazarus. See, I was busy. I was working, raising kids, living my life. And besides, I always thought, if you don't work, you don't eat. Isn't that what the Bible says? I did all the things I had to do. Can I have another chance? Can I have a do-over? Voices from the world tempt us to reduce our faith to matters of religious piety and personal morality and behavior so that we forget to see the needs of others. See, if we live in fear of punishment for not following the rules, then we may not be able to see anything else. But following Jesus is not only about rules of personal behavior. Following Jesus is about following the rules of love, mercy, generosity, and grace. And the only way to get that wrong is to not. In our story today, Jesus put God's will into the mouth of Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. Now, the Jewish tradition has a long theme of caring for the weak, poor, the defenseless, the widows, and orphans. That was the intent. But in the hands and hearts of human beings, it quickly became reduced to religious motions in order to avoid punishment. So, the rich man tries to plead his case, and Abraham said to him, you had so much in your life. You had so much, and you didn't give Lazarus a thing. You sent him away. Then the rich man said, well, wait, can you send a messenger to my brothers? And Abraham said, they got the law and the prophets. What more do they want? And then here's the kicker. I love this punchline. He said, well, then can you go send Lazarus himself? He says, not going to believe it. Huh, we know somebody who did that. Instead, he said, it's all spelled out here. Care for the weak, the hungry, and the poor, the widows and orphans. If you want mercy, show mercy. If we stop at being religious to avoid punishment, then we end up letting the hungry go unfed, we let the lonely cry in the dark, we let the fearful be tormented by their fright, we let the homeless shiver in the cold, and the lost continue to stumble in the dark. But Jesus' words for us today call up the long tradition and theme of this book. It is a love story from God who is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to God. It is about God's amazing love for us, and it calls us to love and honor God by loving others. You see, Jesus does give us a do-over. Jesus starts with a do-over. He starts with mercy. And then Jesus says, so go live that. Because following him is not only about belief. It is about showing mercy, caring for the poor, the hungry, and the weak. But we know how easy it is to become inwardly focused, only to see our needs. There was a man who lived in our town. I knew, doesn't live here anymore. He grew up with no experience with the Christian church. So he assumed that what churches do is things like hold bake sales so we can buy curtains or new carpet and stuff like that. Can't blame him. Didn't just make that up. That was based on what he saw. That was based on his experience of what he saw churches do. But the result is it made it really, really hard for him to understand why our six churches and cooperating church Sussex would create Sussex Outreach, serve the needs of this year's 600 people, 600 households rather, in our school district. Now you, people of God, church, you have grown to be so focused on your walls. Now this is not some congratulatory back-patting session about being so good and faithful and maybe even cute. It's about trying to take Jesus seriously. We are nowhere perfect, and there's all, but you see, sometimes living in God's way is so normal and so natural that we stop noticing it. So I want to raise it up, because there are ways that you literally save lives and heal people. And even if you have not participated directly, you have still made these miracles. I showed the kids, okay? We don't give hammers, I hope, okay? That's what our offerings do. And because you are part of this church, because we are part of the body of Christ, when some of us do it, we all do it together. Because you see, Lazarus keeps showing up. He keeps showing up at our door, and he keeps showing up at our table, and you feed him, and you clothe him, and you care for him. And you know what? It feels good, doesn't it? Feels good to do God's will. And it's not the actions alone that matter. It is also the attitude and beliefs behind them. You see, we don't just see Lazarus and all of his brothers and sisters. We welcome them. When we prepare and serve meals at places like Bread of Healing, a Cross, or Serenity Inn, or at Hephatha, or at the community banquet here in town, when we bring food to share at Sussex Outreach Service, when we pack meals at Salvador, when we help guest house provide a place for homeless men to stay and feed them to boot, we work with Hope Center in Waukesha, and some of you go to Pine Ridge to rebuild Lazarus' houses there in western South Dakota, where hot means hot. But don't feel too proud. Don't get a big head, because we're never done. And we are never ever beyond confession and repentance. It's not about being right, it's trying to be faithful. All right, this month, as we try to understand the deep racial unrest in Charlotte, Oklahoma, Sherman Park, it might feel like there's nothing we can do, but there is. First thing to know is that we will not fully understand the feelings, tensions, and pain because it's through our eyes, not theirs. We are seeing it through the eyes of our experience and what is normal for us. But the pain is often expressed with violence. We know the old adage, hurt people hurt people. But we may never fully understand that. But second, we don't stop. We may not be able to bring healing or hope to those specifically, but Lazarus keeps showing up at our table anyway. So in the shadow of violence and racial tension and shooting in shopping malls, for Pete's sake, feed the hungry. Forgive those who hurt you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, Jesus said. Jesus said. We're never done. And sometimes we will miss Lazarus when he shows up, usually because our lives are already so full, or we're to the next thing, or kick off noon. Jesus does not expect us to help everyone all the time, every single time. But if we can't do it ourselves, we make sure there's somebody there who will and who knows what they are doing, and that's what our offerings do, because they're tools. They send people for us in God's name to carry out God's will. Now, what's at stake is not whether we house everyone, because we're not gonna. But what's at stake is whether we will embody and show mercy, whether we're generous. The rich man sat at a table with far more than enough. He could eat, fed Lazarus and many others, But instead, he sent him away like a stray cat or a stray dog. All the while, believing, being religious and righteous and doing God's will, because he went to worship and believed the list of things to believe. The problem is it did not occur to him that God's will does not stop with what we believe. It starts there. Our faith, our relationship with God, lives in the way we treat others. Whether we show mercy, whether we are generous with what God has given us. And yes, we'll miss opportunities. And yes, we will absolutely say the wrong thing sometimes, and we will clearly not be perfect. But Jesus does not expect us to be perfect. He wants us to be free. Jesus loves us first. So we ask for a do-over. Jesus there with love and mercy and grace, rescuing us from sin, guilt, fear, and shame. And then he sends us out to share it, not perfect, but forgiven, and with everything we need.